Hey, everybody. Welcome to Cue Ball Speedway. Yeah, I just said that. Cue Ball. your podcast magazine for all things motorsports and maybe even some multi-sports. BlogTalkRadio.com, Cue Ball Speedway. BlogTalkRadio.com / Cue Ball Speedway. Yes, I just said that. Cue Ball Speedway. The name has changed. Same game, new name. And note how the new web address now, similar to the old one of Speedway Anywhere, even though that's the official name of the company, blogtalkradio.com/Cue Ball Speedway. It's just a play on my name. I mean, Quentin, Q, whatever, Cue Ball. A lot of people have called me that over the years. So they want to call me the Cue Ball on the Speedway, and I even remember Dale Earnhardt Jr. calling Todd Bodine the cue ball because of his bald head, after Todd Bodine pissed him off a little bit. Later on in life, you know, the Bodines started driving the pace cars, and they got to make the rules over Jr. It was fun, whatever. I'm Cue Ball with a Q. Captain Kurt should be joining us in a bit. Feel free to join the show, 917-889-2053. Area code 917-889-2053. I'd love to have some of you guys on here tonight and tell me your memories of the sports players and the tributes that went on throughout 9/11 back in 2001 or a year later when they came up on the anniversary, things like that. But hey, we're live every Monday and Thursday at 7 p.m. Tonight's a different story because of Hurricane Gordon coming up the central states and whatnot. This is 2 weeks in a row that we've ended up on a Tuesday. Last week was great because it coincided with my mom's birthday, and a lot of people turned out and called in and created an audio birthday card for her. Man, talking about times had. This year has gone fast. The drivers have gone fast. The news is going fast. And before you know it, we'll be covering monster trucks and snowcross. And then it's time for speed weeks at Daytona already. So, yeah, don't blink. As far as that goes, speaking of speed weeks at Daytona, if you missed it, Ari Leyendyke will be returning after his horrific injuries to run the Rolex 24 at Daytona going into that. So that's some pretty big news. Me and Kurt have been kicking around the whole corkscrew at Laguna Seca, and of course, Alex Zanardi. I don't think I've ever seen anyone purposely jump the corkscrew to take the lead on the final lap. That guy just, he had a pair between his legs. Oh my God. I did not mean to make a pun of that, but you know what I mean. So due to major rain delay and postponements, we are behind the eight ball, as I just changed the show name to the cue ball. Cue Ball Speedway, but we're behind the eight ball. The show needed to be moved to this Tuesday evening, and this, of course, is 9/11, the attack on America. But I gave consideration to whether or not this would be inappropriate and decided, you know what, we're not going to let them hold on to this date. I was even married on this date, you know, I could get the location I wanted. Nobody else was willing to do it. Well, that's what we did. We got married where we wanted to, and life went on for a while. We're just going to let some terrorist pigs stop us from doing what we do? Hell no. Remember that Gordon guy? Not talking about Robbie. He said the S-word a bunch of times. He never got charged for it like Rusty Wells. And no, I'm not talking about Jeff Gordon either. Talk about Hurricane Gordon. The excess storm system made its way up the central state area and made a mess of the events at Indy over the weekend. The events at Indy were held back straight up until Monday. It's not every day you get to watch an Xfinity race and a cup race in the same day. That was awesome. But there is a silver lining as far as Silver Crown. The USAC series started late on Thursday at that cool little third mile bull ring that they put inside of turn three at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. They put in temporary lighting, temporary bleachers, and I have a feeling we're going to be seeing a lot more there. Let's see, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Christopher Bell, and then I'm forgetting the NBC reporter's name, last name Walsh, I believe. He came up through driving little quarter midgets throughout the years and things like that. He got to do it at Indy. That was just phenomenal. So they put lights at Indy where there are no lights elsewhere. Maybe in the bathrooms. That's about it. But Thursday night, they finally got the race in after a ton of rain. I think it was around midnight. And I got to see the repeat on, what, Friday morning? Something like that. And on top of that, the ARCA series had been delayed to October 6th, by the way. And October 6th at IRL, you know, Lucas Oil Raceway Park, normally called Indianapolis Raceway Park, had to be pushed out until October 6th. This is going to create some complications. And if you guys are looking for the NASCAR Cup news and whatnot, I apologize. I'll get there in just a second. ARCA Series wasn't able to get the race in, so it's postponed out to the first week of October, and work was already supposed to begin on that, you know, Lucas Oil IRP. And I don't know what this is going to do to those plans, and I don't know what the plans for IRP are actually for next year. I do know they're making huge improvements. They want to move more short track races into the NASCAR series after the truck series and bus series haven't been at IRP since, I think, 2006. I'm probably just making up a number there. But yeah, when all was said and done, the Xfinity series, they moved to Monday. The Cup series got moved to Monday. And I was in a racing coma all day long. So I took the good from the bad. That was awesome. I parked my both butt cheeks on the couch and I watched it from 9 to 5. And both butt cheeks, as we're talking about Dolly Parton, both. So I want to start out with 2001, when NASCAR and sports organizations made the judgment call to cancel or postpone events. You know, I don't want to talk about the rain delay thing right now. I want to talk about the sports events postponed from September 11th, 2001. The executive stepped in and knew that fans wouldn't be able to make it, with air travel shut down. There was a lot of uncertainty as far as, you know, going anywhere, period. And then they also brought it up as it coming down to respect in lieu of September 11th, who would go out and play a baseball game that day or the day after or the days after? The teams returned almost a week, It would have been almost 2 weeks and probably about a day short, because I think they came back on a Sunday. When the teams returned in any sport, they paid tribute in a large way. NASCAR returned to Dover. When they returned, they had to postpone the Loudon race. They later ran the race at Loudon that was scheduled for the following weekend from 9/11. And they returned to Loudon after what was their final race at Atlanta, I believe. It wasn't Homestead at that point. So when they ran at Dover, almost 2 weeks later, the paint schemes and tributes were totally proper. It was an insurmountable task given the circumstances, but they did it perfect, and they made it happen in a very short time, all things considered. I remember, we were just talking about Burt Reynolds and the Skull Bandit and all that stuff. Ken Schrader, who was driving the Skull Bandit at that time, nothing but a flag, not a sponsor sticker, nothing. He just put a big Star Spangled Banner on the car with the number 33, and that's how he raced. The tributes in the crowd, the other drivers, the invocation, the just, oh my God, it was just, wow. I couldn't believe just how they gave tribute to that. There aren't words, and I'm trying not to get too choked up and whatnot, and I know I'm going to throughout the show, so that's why I'm stumbling on words. So we're going to go back to what we do. We're not going to let some terrorist pigs keep us from doing what we love, which is reporting the racing, following the racing, rooting for our drivers, and loving every minute of it. So, all right, let's drop the green flag and go hammer down. First, USAC opened up the new dirt track on the infield at Indy, like I mentioned. The Driven to Save Lives, Driven to Save Lives, Brian Clausen, 39, kicked off late after the rain and hosted some Cup and other NASCAR drivers. The new quarter mile dirt oval. Oh, I said that wrong earlier, didn't I? I said third mile. Quarter mile dirt oval had 5,000 temporary bleachers. 5,000, folks. That's no small task when you're going to host the Brickyard 400 on top of the Lily Diabetes 250. So they put temporary lights, temporary bleachers over on the dirt track on turn three. Dirt track. I should say clay track. That's what the rest say. But yeah, the USAC Midgets inaugural race at Indy was won by Brady Bacon. I love that name. I really do. Brady Bacon. Can you imagine if he was like a seven-time champion in the Cup Series? He'd have his own brand. The race lasted into the midnight hours, and we had, guys like Ricky Stenhouse Jr. and, of course, Major League driver in the Xfinity Series, Christopher Bell, taking it on at the same time. It was it turned out to be a pretty cool race. I only saw the repeat. You never knew where to find it on TV because they never knew when the race was going to start. I'm about 16 odd minutes plus in. I'm going to go to bumper music, and maybe we'll have Captain Kurt back. We'll be right back. So when the Cup Series finally ran Monday afternoon and set their championship field for the chase starting next weekend at Vegas, wasn't what we expected. They had no practice on the track. Not one car had turned a lap. And, you know, the only thing that had been done is inspection, and maybe engine got started. Maybe some tire pressures got changed. That was it. Thank God it's out to Vegas after the hurricane remnants postponed the Brickyard. It's looking like the Carolinas and upper Midwest East, upper Mid East Coast is going to be in a watch of rain as well. And this could affect the race at Richmond after they come back from Vegas. Out in NASCAR country, where Hurricane Florence is going to roll in, it's, I don't know. Maybe they should just create three races in Minnesota when they race at this time of year. All in favor, say no. Okay. But hey, when all was said and done, Bad Brad doubled up and got his second in a row after spending 2018 winless. He picked up his first win at Darlington last week. He moved up to fourth as far as a berth going into the championship seating. So when he goes into Vegas, he'll be fourth seated. The 16 chase eligible hasn't changed for months. Alex Bowman and Jimmy Johnson held on the tail end. Kind of saw that coming. Austin Dillon lucked his way in by the Daytona win. Restrictor plate. If you've heard me say it before, I'm sorry if you're sick of hearing it, but a restrictor plate track does not count. Kyle Busch is the regular season champ after 26 races. He was less than enthused after the Brickyard, where he finished eighth. It's not that big of a deal to him. He's got his eyes on the prize at Miami, and that's it. Kevin Harvick was the highest finisher of the big three at Indianapolis in fourth. And of the other three, Martin Truex Jr. finished last after brake failure early on. Me and Captain Kurt will be talking about that in a little while. So the top five: Brad Keselowski in first. Eric Jones backed up his, shots of brilliance, promising season throughout the years where he collected a win, luckily. He finished second. Denny Hamlin was extremely upset by late cautions after commanding the race, and he fell to third at the end. I don't blame him at all. Denny, under any other circumstances, he would have had it. Possibly Boyer too, but Brad Keselowski lucked his way in on that one. Denny Hamlin had a chance to get victory for the first time this year, but later made comments about the drivers outside the lead lap who had nothing to lose, so they just spun out, caused cautions, screwed it up for him. In my words, not his, but that is my interpretation as well. I don't. There's hits a certain point where other drivers have nothing to gain. They should just get off the damn track. Because even if you're not up in front, causing a wreck, but you're causing cautions in the back. Well, Denny Hamlin clearly is on the prowl for a win. Shoulda, woulda, coulda, woulda, and a partridge, and a pear tree. The four once again in fourth as Harvick, our year's winningest driver, with seven pulled off another top five, and his teammate, Clint Bowyer, who, by the way, I also said looked poised to win and was derailed by cautions late in the race. If you were to ask me who they should just take every car off the track, put two of them out there, and last man standing, Denny Hamlin and Clint Bowyer, they deserved it the most. Okay, let's go top 16 positions as they go into Vegas. Remember, they have three races. Put up, shut up. If anyone wins, they go on to the next round. The rest are decided by points. So Kyle Busch, by the skin of his teeth, barely took first seed. Kevin Harvick, second. Martin Truex Jr., a little bit behind. He's got 15 points to make up on either Kyle Busch or Kevin Harvick. Brad Keselowski, he's got even more to make up. Clint Bowyer in the fifth slot. Joey Logano is, make sure I got this right. I don't want to miss him. Yep, Joey Logano, sixth, barely behind Bowyer. Kurt Busch tied with Joey Logano, but seated in seventh. Chase Elliott is in eighth. Ryan Blaney, ninth. Eric Jones, interestingly enough, I didn't think he was going to hang on to 10th going in, but he did. Austin Dillon, Daytona 500 winner, is tied with Eric Jones, but in virtue of playoff points and positions is in 11th. Kyle Larson, same deal. Doesn't make much sense. Austin Dillon wins. Eric Jones wins. Kyle Larson, no wins, but ties him up in 12th. Denny Hamlin, kind of fell out a little bit and is 13th in the slot. Eric Almirola, who was looking like he just might pick up a win for Stewart Haas Racing. He was looking good. Jimmy Johnson and Alex Bowman on the tail end. If you were to ask me who's going to go where, I'm going to say Alex Bowman is out. Austin Dillon is out. Eric Jones is out. It's a grab bag from there on out. Didn't mean to tie those words together in a pun. I do have to mention, this is Penske's first cup win at the Brickyard. They've won everything, but they've won in the Xfinity Series. They've won in Indy on the oval. They've won in Indy on the road course. But Penske has finally won on everything. So nothing new on Martin Truex for the next year, but it was confirmed that Jamie McMurray will not run full-time for Ganassi in the number one next year. He has, however, been offered a ride there for the Daytona 500. Not a bad deal. Free money. And been offered an operations position at Ganassi. Now, I'm kind of wondering, as far as that goes now, does this lead to the assumption that Jamie McMurray has already expressed interest for an operations position? I mean, that's kind of a, you know, question that, unless I could walk up to him and ask, we'll probably not get the answer to him. Maybe next year he'll reveal the details on that. Matt DiBenedetto, I had so much trouble over the years finally figuring out how to pronounce that. Maybe I don't even pronounce it correctly now, but he's been running that number 34. He won't be back in that car. in 2019. There are some great positions, whether in the Cup or the Xfinity Series, that the underrated Matt DiBenedetto, can I just say Matt? It's just easy. But yeah, as far as DiBenedetto, I would have to say that he's got some great opportunities. The number 34 car has not been a well-funded team, and it has not been a car that any driver would really want to step into based on the resources. It's one of those that runs 30th to 40th week in and week out. But it has survived. I've talked to a few people on a couple other stations, and they think that this guy actually has what it takes. And given the back markers of the field going in this year, I'd give anyone a chance. I'd give my freaking dog a chance. I mean, it hasn't been the year of standouts from, 25th on back. So, but hey, Daniel Suarez, on the other hand, this is a curious subject. Now, let's consider that number 41 of Stewart Haas Racing that Kurt Busch is driving right now. He hasn't made anything official. What about Daniel Suarez in that 19 where everyone says that Martin Truex Jr. is going to? Maybe Suarez is the reason that Matt DiBenedetto. I have a hard time with that. So who goes where? I'm so sick of waiting out the season. It's going to be the middle of September this weekend. Usually we know something, but I like the fun of the guesswork going on. So who goes where? I think it's obvious. If I was to make some massive predictions, my money would be 75% safe, if not 100. The pot keeps bubbling, and the food keeps taking on a new flavor. So we'll talk more about that when we get back.
Faceless coward, and freedom will be defended.
Right? Oh my God! Another plane has just hit. It hit another building. Flew right into the middle of it. Explosion!
There was a huge explosion sound. Everyone came out. A large section of the building is blown out.
Two planes into the towers of 1 and 2 World Trade Center. A third plane crashed into the Pentagon.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life.
I'm very worried, very scared.
I had to start again.
We will do whatever is necessary.
My children and my wife.
protect America and Americans.
Thank my lucky stars to be living here.
There's no reason for this. There's no excuse for this.
But the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And
you remember all the sports organizations that had to scramble and figure out how not to let this beat them?
Oh, yeah.
Lower Manhattan looks like it was bombed during the Second World War.
Some of the casualties are in the collapsed building and buildings around the World Trade Center. I'm told that it's just a scene of rubble and utter devastation.
This country will rebound, and what can you say in a situation? There's just not a lot we can say.
This is something that's affecting everyone directly.
A lot of commissioners of all sports were scrambling to figure out
from the lakes of Minnesota,
how to
I pray that God will give
figure out how the fans were going to get there and when the time would be.
From Detroit,
yeah.
Yeah, that was unprecedented. It was just, you couldn't sit back in your office and be like, hey, what if our country got bombed, and come up with a plan? It was just, that's the way it was. I remember that Ken Schrader car, though, that it was nothing but the number 33 on the side. And Stars, Stripes. It was that. We were just talking about the Skull Bandit recently. And yeah, that was crazy. I got more on that in a little bit here. Xfinity Series took the Brickyard Monday morning in the to begin my racing coma. What a frickin' test session, as they were the first cars to go and do anything on the track except for garage activities over the weekend. They got on the car, or they got on the track, they followed the pace car, and the opening laps went as smooth as the Xfinity Series was patient, but still competitive. They got the moisture out of the track. They finished the first stage 4 wide. There was a couple cars that didn't quite make it through. I mean, there was the mandatory caution. A couple that would have blown their engines anyway during practice, so whatever, life goes on. But in the end, Justin Allgaier, sorry, Kurt, took the checkers and proved he has the talent to go out there, on a completely green track and make it happen. And Allgaier struggled with an early season penalty at Dover, but has more than recovered to show he belongs in the showdown heading to Vegas. He's seated first if they were to go into their chase right now, but they got to finish up Vegas. And there's a certain little factor in there called Christopher Bell that might have something to say about that playoff berth.
Ring my bell, ring my bell. So,
I was thinking more on the Milli Vanilli side of "Blinding on the Rain."
You know, right now, though, I do got to mention, you know, I'm wondering what Brad's thinking about this very, very second, because what a time to win two in a row, because in sports, I don't know, and I think racing's one of them things. You get into the chase, and you're the hottest driver right now. I mean, it's not a bad time to pick it up.
You know, I'm supposed to bear on the side of unbiased. I don't think Brad Keselowski, if you were to take one of the winners going into the next round that possibly won't make it, I'm going to say Brad Keselowski.
Well, it is one of them things, though. I even thought about that today. I'm just thinking people are probably thinking that right now, and it's almost too easy to think, oh, I don't know, he's hot right now, but, you know, it's almost too easy to think that way, too, though. I mean, and who knows what would have happened without the rain, you know, without pushing it back a day, but.
You know, screw the rain. Here's where I'm at. What about without the late race cautions?
Yeah.
No, it was Clint Bowyer or Denny Hamlin's race at that point.
Yeah.
If it went green, there would be no Keselowski. Just no way. So, all right, let's finish the Xfinity stuff here real quick because we keep on talking about the Cup stuff. Christopher Bell, he's been dominant. He ended up seventh in the Xfinity race. So overall finishing order was Justin Allgaier, who's red hot, Tyler Reddick, who is locked in with a win for the championship chase, Ryan Blaney finished third, non-factor. He's a Cup driver. Chase Elliott, fourth, non-factor, Cup driver. And the top five was rounded up by Daniel Hemric, Cole Custer, and Elliott Sadler. And you saw that nasty double zero pancake the wall wreck for Cole Custer. But Elliott Sadler was the first caution. But, you know, those guys are fine going into the playoff. But it's been told to me. Well, let's keep reading notes because otherwise I'd double up. Going into Vegas, well, Justin Allgaier and Christopher Bell are the biggest locks. And Cole Custer and Sadler, regardless of their earlier wrecks at India, they're safe. I got to say, Ross Chastain, by the way, the guy that was kicking ass until him and Harvick got together at Darlington, he was trailing points positions in 12th, but he moved up to 11th yesterday. So, we'll see where... this leads at Vegas. The points are extremely, extremely tight, 13th through 10th. Might even be 13th through 9th now. So, Daniel Hemric, he's been consistent. Ryan Truex, obviously a well-funded team. He's stayed up there week in and week out. Matt Tift. It's always fun when... one of the announcers says Matt Kenseth when it's Matt Tift. And dude, it's been Jeff Burton, it's been Dale Earnhardt Jr., it's been, but yeah, Ryan Reed, Brandon Jones. I went looking for the cutout as far as where they're at with playoff points versus victory points versus actual season points. It's not enough time today. I'm on the fence about if we get a new win-year-end contender from outside of the top 12. But the good news is there will be no cup drivers in there to steal the win.
Yeah, that is good.
The trucks will finally be back at Vegas, too. Their second race of their Chase Showdown. Otherwise, they have been off for, what, 2 or 3 weeks? Yeah, August 25th, where the chase began. Justin Haley took the win on a road course. The truck race is already in their final shoot. Truck chase is already in their showdown where Johnny Sauter leads just ahead of Brett Moffitt. Noah Gregson in third. Justin Haley, though, won the first showdown race in Canada. So he trumps them all and makes them lock for the next round of their choice. Chase, choice, race. So, as of now, Matt Crafton, who is struggling to hold on to even get a chase berth, is fifth. We'll see. A lot of talk about Gregson's lands, and the main being that he is the prime guy for Junior Motorsports ride that Elliott Sadler is retiring from in the Xfinity Series. Nothing confirmed for Gregson, but that is the rumor mill. So, we'll see the trucks back at Vegas on my birthday, Friday evening. The second race of their chase. And it'll create a little bit clearer picture where they are going to come out in mid-September. So... Is that what you needed? You got quiet for a second. I was starting to think you were.
No, it's just every. When you mentioned Dover, though. When you mentioned Dover, though, I keep on thinking about Wayne's World, where they're doing the screen test. And just on how they get to Delaware after talking about all these exciting places, you know, Texas, New York, all these other, Hawaii, Los Angeles, and then all of a sudden they're in Delaware, and Wayne just goes, Delaware, Delaware, you know, and then you mention Vegas. I've never heard anybody say anything bad about Delaware, but... You know. Yep, that's correct. And of course, Viva Las Vegas. Think about that.
Holy crap, that guy sleeps a long time. Yeah, I was trying to figure this out, though. I mean, we're kicking this whole thing around about the Gordon thing. I'm just like, all right, now, okay, you always bring up how Robbie Gordon swears.
Yeah.
What about Gordon Ramsay? There's a couple of Gordons going on there, and I don't understand why it, you just every time you hear the word S-bomb,
Jeff Gordon ain't bad for an old guy.
Trying to figure out this whole Gordon thing, and I'm just like, So, how many pennies would Gordon Ramsay have to give Bill France Jr. versus Robbie Gordon?
See, what I've watched, Hell's Kitchen and that, I don't know on how it is unedited, of course, but, you know, he rarely swears, where Robbie Gordon, he doesn't get too upset, but when he's mad, you'll hear him use words. Gordon Ramsay uses actions. Robbie Gordon uses words. Yeah, that would be an interesting debate. Gordon Ramsay would do all the yelling, and Robbie Gordon would say something like, shut the hell up. You know, I mean, and then you throw in a guy like Jeff Gordon. I don't know what he would do.
Jeff Gordon would be like the patron saint.
Oh, he would be, but, you know, I mean, he got upset a few times, though. I mean, but, yeah, he would be, he'd be the patron saint, but, oh, God, could you imagine Robbie Gordon, though, being around Kurt Busch? Oh, that would be fun.
Did you say Robbie Gordon beating around the Kurt Busch?
No, being around Kurt Busch.
Being around. I thought you said beating around the Kurt
Busch. No, I said being around.
Like beating around the Busch. Oh, okay.
Oh, God, no. But that would be interesting. Yep.
All right. I don't even know where I want to go from here. Let's see. We got S ton of time, but I don't want to go to even 8:30 tonight. Too tired. I'm hungry. Don't care. So,
could I bring it up real quick?
Sure.
I do want to bring up, I know, I'm doing a product placement here, but AMC, they're going to start showing at some of their selected theaters around the country, which will include here, of course. They're going to be showing Smokey and the Bandit, right? So all you race fans out there, if you can, watch Stroker Ace, because I know I kind of make fun of that movie, but now that I'm older, I might get it a little bit more.
I want to listen to that song. Eastbound and Down, 18
Wheels. Oh, yeah. Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Let's get this going. The first of the final major series for 2018. Indy's coming back for one last crowning race when they return to Sonoma on Sunday. Like we've talked about a godzillion times, they're headed out to Laguna Seca. Scott Dixon is still in the lead in points. Rossi is still in second in points. Willpower is about the only place that's changed for God knows how long. Him and last year's champ, Joseph Newgarden. And then, of course, RHR, Brian Hunter Ray in the top five. Three of them aren't likely going to make it as champ. I mean, maybe if there's a bunch of driver penalties and it resets the scenario, it's coming down to Dixon and Rossi. That's it. Call it good. Hopefully next year is a little more awesome. I did some looking up about Robert Wickens. Of course, he's back in his hometown. His bones are a lot more busted than they let on. And I don't think he's coming back to racing. I really don't. Everything that I've been able to acquire from the news has... you know, Zanardi lost his legs. but Wiccan's lost his back.
Yeah.
I'm not a doctor, and I'm just going to leave it at that. So, Andy, we'll wrap up the championship Sunday, September 16th at Sonoma for the final Sonoma race, and then head to the Corkscrew next year. The Super Bowl of NHRA hit up the stadium that is Indy. They got the good weather, while the NASCAR got the bad weather the following week. But, yeah. They're there over Labor Day weekend for the, how many days is that? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Dude, that's 6 days.
Yep.
Crazy.
Yep.
And they took a week off. They'll begin what is their final six race season for the showdown. If you ask me, I think some teams have been sandbagging and saving the best for last because a lot of guys suddenly pulling out engine blocks and drive lines that are closing up the points. Courtney Forrest still leads 20 car, and Steve Torrence still leads top field. Papa Billy Torrence, as we've talked about, he's been a performer. Every time he comes out of hiatus, I don't know how many races he'll be running, by the way, going through these final six races. The main three are locked in for the sixth race showdown, except for Pro Bike. There is one spot open. And it'll be secured by Sunday. NHRA will begin their showdown at Maple Grove Raceway September 13th in Pennsylvania. Weather permitting, Hurricane Florence wants to come in and screw that up. I guarantee
yes, she
it.
Does.
Syllabus. Syllabus. You know what that is? A syllabus?
Syllabus?
That term. That thing they talk about in school.
Syllabus. Well,
I don't
sounds
even know what it means.
Syllabus. It's a blissful syllable. How about that? it's happy. That's two happy syllables because it's happy. Think about that. It's a happy syllable.
Well, it's not like the bus on what South Park or is that the same?
Yeah,
Mrs. Crabtree.
Yep, and,
she's
yep,
not a
and,
silly bus. There's nothing
know,
silly on that bus.
One thing, though, you mentioned the IRL at Laguna. One thing, though, I thought about this a couple of weeks ago. I'm wondering how many drivers are going to be on that track for the first time. And the biggest thing they're worried about is the corkscrew, but how many of them are really going to be looking forward to taking them things out there and trying that thing for the first time during practice.
You know, I got to ask. You know, when it comes to, sure, you can get to know a road course if you drive it a million times. But isn't everyone pretty much under the same set of circumstances? I mean, you got to figure out what you want from your car and what your car wants from you, and then put it out on that track. Whereas, you know, horsepower. Yeah, I don't know. I really can't go there. Hey, I wanted to talk about the silly bus. You know, everyone calls it the silly season. I call it the silly bus season or the syllabus season. I got to ask some English teachers and other school teachers, really, what is a syllabus? I can count syllables.
Yeah. Oh, the next college football, the next college ball game, you should call it the syllable. There you go. I don't know. I just thought of that.
Sorry about that. I'm human. I cough on air. It happens. So, yeah, Jim McMurray. And holy crap. Jim McMurray is out at Ganassi Racing. Jamie's been offered a ride for the Daytona 500. I don't even know. Why would they even do that? I mean, well, we're not going to let you drive the car the whole year, but if you want to go and crash it in the researcher plate rack, be my guest. So he's been offered a contract for the 2019 Daytona 500 and a leadership position with the team. And like I say, I think he's probably already spoken that he wants to be in more of an operations position. Otherwise, why would they do that? Oh, this is embarrassing. How do the professionals do it? Keep themselves from sneezing and coughing and...
Oh, there's a sponsor for... There's a sponsor for any future driver out there. NyQuil.
Yeah, but that would just put the broadcaster off the air.
Well...
So,
it's not always a bad thing. Thank you. No.
That's why I wish Chrissy was here. She could just jump on air and be like, oh, hey, guys. There was something about cars going fast, and there's this Kevin Harvick name on the teleprompter. Why is he writing stuff about Courtney Forrest? That bastard.
She all writes right. more stuff about John Forrest.
If she's attracted to John Forrest, you realize she's listening on her phone right now.
Yeah, well.
If she's attracted to John Forrest, she's got the wrong type of guy with me. But, hey, we're not official. Not sure what the ultimate plan is with the improvements to IRP with the ARCA race going to October 6th. This race was supposed to finish up. Remember the old IRP? You remember that?
Yes, I do.
Did you? See the race where that in-track camera ended up in the front end of one of the Craftsman Truck Series trucks?
I remember the clip.
It was bizarre.
I remember the clip.
So the track's supposed to undergo different stages as they, make it something again. Over there by the water tower that says Speedway. And now this is going to delay things for about a month as the ARCA series is rescheduled for October 6th. World of Outlaws, didn't get to it. NFL! Holy Mondo Bizarro. The Browns tie to break probably the longest winless streak in recent history.
Yeah, and they, they did it against a consistent winning team, and You know, you didn't see that coming, though, much less a tie with anyone. But, you know, there's people that are going, well, they still didn't win. There's a question for you. Has anybody in the history of football ever ended a winless streak of more than one game with a tie? Yeah.
That is a curious subject. And you know what? As big of a deal is that kind of is. Tracy Herget, if you're listening, your Pittsburgh Steelers that you've spent a small fortune traveling to see in their home stadium got tied by the Cleveland Browns. And there I digress. I mean, the flip side to all this, too, is the stupid Packers-Bears thing that Mac the Knife screwed me up. Vikings won, but not by double digits, so who cares? All right, let's go deep. Dude, who was your car?
Well, Mr. Truex was, you know.
Yes.
You know, God. I would like to pick Brad, but I can't. It's just so simple for me to pick. But I'm going to say what the hell. I never think about him, but I'm going to go with Denny Hamlin.
You don't have to make a pick right now. It's not Thursday yet.
No, because I know, but this week, though, I'm saying right now, I'm going with Denny Hamlin.
In Vegas?
Yeah.
I'd rather go. If I was going to choose Hamlin, I would go with Richmond on the short track. But yeah. All right. I'm not making my pick right now, but I know who my pick was, and he won at Indy, and that was the Gator. I picked him last week, remember?
Yes, I do.
I'll play back the audio if you need me to. I have it right here. In the words of Terry Holty, I just wanted to sit. All right, we're going to go final laps just because all right, we already got into some Shep Ramsey swearing versus Robbie Gordon swearing versus Hurricane Gordon screwing everything up.
Don't forget about Gordon's fisherman. The fish stick guy. Trust the Gordon fisherman. Thank you.
I'll go with Captain Siggs. All right. I don't really have a big design because the show was set up for more of a tribute show. And I just screwed up the volume settings. And speaking of Gordon's Fisherman's and all that shit stuff, I just got charged $5,000 in pennies. Are any of us actually influenced by sponsors' names on the side of a car?
Whoa. Oh, there's influence there. People have, I'm going to bring up Jeff Gordon and the Rainbow Warriors. I wouldn't have thought about an auto.
DuPont paint was way too expensive for me.
I never would have thought about it, but, you know, I mean, and I'll admit, though, too, there still are people, though, that literally did want to know what spark plugs they used, which this and that, and, you know, it didn't hurt them.
Well, here goes one further on you. Now, when you see Quaker State on the side of a car one day and you see Coca-Cola on the rear deck lid, and then next year you see Valvoline and Pepsi on the same car.
Yep.
Isn't that kind of what do you do with that? If you are influenced by a driver's performance.
I've wondered that too. I have actually wondered about that, and I have wondered about that. Well, Johnny Benson, Pennzoil, he gets his first win in a Valvoline sponsored car. Think about that. Yep. Think about that.
You know, I was trying to think of it too. You had the yellow Pennzoil cars. You've had the red, white, and blue Valvoline cars, but what happened to the green Quaker State cars? Didn't Ricky Rudd have one? I don't know. So product, that's, you know, to me, the only one that actually turned me off was Sprint Nextel. They got so jealous. It was the telecommunications industry at that time, and they're like, there will be no new cell phone companies, blah blah blah, coming into the sport. Well, how'd that work out for them?
Yeah.
The biggest industry in the freaking world, and they thought they were going to be able to shut it down, and... All right. We're going to go with this and wrap the show.
Can I jump in real quick with one more thing, though, about Johnny Benson's first win? In a Valvoline sponsored car, he beats Mark Martin in a Valvoline sponsored car. That's another thing.
Oh, Mark Martin was driving the GoDaddy number 5.
Yep.
For the moment.
Yep.
Oh, you always stop talking at the wrong time when I go to get a sip of dinner. At that time, Mark Martin was out there on the track finishing up the deal for the number 5 over there at Hendrick Motorsports while Casey Kane was still under contract with Ray Evernham, and then that contract was up. Casey Kane went over to the number 5. Well, Mark Martin filled in behind Kyle Busch. And it's supposed to be a feel-good story, but whatever.
Freedom was attacked this morning by a faceless coward.
I want to go out on this note.
Right. Yeah.
Oh my God. Another plane has just hit. It hit another building. Flew right into the middle of it. Explosion.
There was a huge explosion sound. Everyone came out. A large section of the building is blown out.
Two planes into the towers of one and two World Trade Center. A third
probably,
plane crashed through the Pentagon.
Probably not the heaviest time in my life because I had my own losses going on.
Very worried, very scared. Had to
start again. We will do whatever is necessary
to
protect America and Americans.
But the way
there's no reason for this, there's no excuse for this.
Handle this, including auto racing. If I didn't acknowledge this today, I would be disrespected. So, Victory Lane goes out with a heavy heart, but proud heart to every soldier who answered the call to finish what they started, the terrorists started. To every EMS worker who answered the call. To every family at home.
Of the collapsed building and buildings around the world.
To everyone
center, I'm told that it's just a scene of rubble and utter
who has and continues to memorialize
what can you say in
the events
just not a lot we can
of 9/11
it's affecting everyone directly.
American people Speedway Anywhere, the actual official
victims and their families.
Company of the show will continue to do it.
I pray that God will give our leaders wisdom.
And to those that build the memorials and maintain the memorials, like the one recently opened up in Janesville, Pennsylvania, I've actually been there. I can't wait to get there to see it. Good night from Speedwell Anywhere.
Where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her till today. Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. And I'm proud.
Resolve of our great nation.